First, let's take a look at our headlines for this hour.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel insists Cuba is not and will not be paralyzed.
Minister of Economy says Cuba is working hard to find solutions to the current situation.
More than 12 million No More Trump petitions to be presented to United Nations.
Puerto Rican independence activist Oscar López Rivera visits Cuba.
And now the news in detail.
For the second consecutive evening, Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel made a special TV appearance on the Roundtable program to continue informing the people about the measures adopted by the country to mitigate the difficulties resulting from the lack of availability of some fuels. The situation is a direct result of the escalation by the Trump administration, which now threatens and blackmails companies and freighters that bring oil to Cuba. In his opening remarks, the president thanked the people for their understanding after announcing a group of measures to address the energy situation. He reiterated that Cuba has a strategy to face the contingency and reaffirmed that this is a situation related to the U.S. blockade imposed on the island for almost 60 years. Also on hand for the programs were the Public Health Ministry, Jose Angel Portal Miranda, who explained that during the current temporary situation, the sector counts with a support to guarantee its main activities with fuels allotted to hospital boilers, ambulances, as well as the vital supplies.
On Thursday evenings, Mesa Redonda, Cuba's Prime Minister TV program, Alejandro Gil Fernandez, Minister of Economy and Planning, spoke about the measures being taken to guarantee basic services. Accompanying Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel and other ministers of the government on the program, Gil Fernandez said that the nation is not paralyzed, but is working to find solutions to the diesel deficit that is being experienced. He said that managing fuel distribution is a current priority, for which measures have been designed for two fundamental stages. The first, through this Saturday, September the 14th, the day on which a ship with oil cargo will arrive, and the second until the end of the month of September. The Cuban Minister of Economy and Planning said that the diesel fuel available will focus on food production, distribution to the retail network, and guaranteeing basic services in hospitals, children's daycare centers, and schools.
Venezuela will present more than 12 million signatures collected in Venezuela and around the world to the United Nations later this month. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro announced that he will not attend the United Nations General Assembly in New York at the end of September, but that Vice President Delcy Rodriguez and Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza will represent the nation at the annual international event. He also explained that Rodriguez and Arreaza will give a letter to the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, explaining that the government has collected over 12 million signatures over the past month from supporters who reject Washington's economic and commercial blockade imposed on Venezuela, making it impossible for the nation to get access to its assets outside the country or for any other countries to do business with Venezuela. Rodriguez and Arreaza will personally take the petitions to New York. According to provisional information from the United Nations, Maduro was scheduled to speak before the General Assembly on September the 26th. Last year, Maduro was present at the UN high-level summit where he charged United States President Donald Trump for the Venezuelan economic crisis, but also offered dialogue.
A Colombian human rights NGO has reported that non-paramilitary group involved in the drugs trade helped Juan Guaido cross the Venezuelan-Colombian border back in February so that he could attend Richard Branson's Venezuela Aid Live concert in Cúcuta. Wilfredo Cañizares, director of the Fundación Progresar, a local human rights NGO, told local media that he has evidence that a right-wing paramilitary group known as Los Rastrojos played a key role in helping coordinate the entry of self-declared lawmaker Juan Guaido into Colombia on February 23rd. The group is also involved in the drug trade and was described by Inside Crime as one of the most powerful transnational criminal syndicates in Colombia, until their top leadership was captured in 2012. They are now considered to be a somewhat small operation. The crossing took place on February the 23rd in order to help Guaido attend a concert in Cúcuta organized by British billionaire Richard Branson. The concert Venezuela Aid Live was organized to pressure the Venezuelan government to allow the entry of so-called humanitarian aid.
And you've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Now let's go back over to our news. Here's the one and only Gerwin Jones.
Puerto Rican independence activist Oscar Lopez Rivera says that Cuba is an example of struggle, resistance, sacrifice, dignity, and solidarity for the peoples of the world, mainly of Latin America and the Caribbean. During a press conference in Havana Thursday at the beginning of the commemorations in Cuba of solidarity with the cause of the people of Puerto Rico, the former political prisoner and activist denounced the threats and aggressions of the United States against the largest of the Caribbean islands and all the countries that defend their independence and sovereignty. Venezuela, Nicaragua, Bolivia, and other Latin American nations are target of the aggressiveness of the United States government, which believes it can dominate and control territories from the border with Mexico to Punta de Fuego in Argentina, Lopez Rivera said. He also described colonialism as the greatest punishment for his people who have suffered for more than 120 years. Oscar Lopez pointed out that it's necessary to show solidarity to the Puerto Rican cause, as demonstrated by Cuba, whom he thanked for its support during his imprisonment in the United States and for the brotherhood the island maintains with Puerto Ricans.
Cuban Vice President Ines Maria Chapman arrived in Zimbabwe on Friday to attend the funeral services of former president and founding father of that African nation, Robert Mugabe. The Cuban delegation is also composed of the Director General of Political Planning of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Marcos Rodriguez, and the Cuban Ambassador to the Republic of Zimbabwe, Carmelina Ramirez Rodriguez. Robert Mugabe died on September the 6th at the age of 95 in a Singapore hospital surrounded by his family and his wife, Grace. The former president of Zimbabwe had been hospitalized and receiving medical treatment in the Asian city for the last 5 months.
In the Bahamas, authorities have published a list of 2,500 people who went missing after Hurricane Dorian ravaged the island nation last week as a Category 5 storm. The official death toll stands at 50, but Prime Minister Uber Minis has warned that the number is likely to soar. According to reports, compounding the Bahamas' misery is a massive oil spill that's begun to spread into the ocean off the southern coast of Grand Bahama Island after Hurricane Dorian blew the lids of 6 giant crude oil tanks. This comes as multiple news outlets reported the Donald Trump administration has decided not to grant temporary protected status to Bahamians, which would allow them to work and live in the United States until it's safe for them to return home. In response, the National Immigration Law Center tweeted, "For the Trump administration to deny TPS to those seeking shelter is yet another example of their sheer cruelty." Earlier this week, the Miami Herald reported a 12-year-old Bahamian girl whose home was destroyed by the hurricane was separated from her family by the U.S. authorities after arriving in South Florida. The girl, Keitora Paul, has arrived with her godmother at an airport in West Palm Beach and was taken into custody of the Department of Health and Human Services and moved to a facility for unaccompanied immigrant children in Miami-Dade County.
On Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., two young immigrants testified that the Donald Trump administration's move to deport non-citizens with medical conditions is a virtual death sentence. The pair told the House Oversight Committee they were abruptly ordered by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services this month to leave the U.S. within 33 days, even though they have lived in the U.S. for years under a program that defers deportations from immigrants who would otherwise not have access to life-saving treatment. Massachusetts Democratic Representative Ayanna Priestley said, "The occupant of this White House and his xenophobic administration cannot reach any new lows. They go even lower, deciding to give seriously ill children and their families 33 days to leave the country or risk being deported." The Trump administration's medical deportation order this month came without any advance notice or public announcement.
At the U.S. southern border, the first immigration court hearings of Trump's so-called Remains in Mexico program began Wednesday in large tents in Laredo and Brownsville, Texas. The program has forced more than 42,000 people who sought asylum at the border to wait in Mexico until their court dates. Judges in the tent courts conducted hearings via video teleconference, and lawyers reported multiple technical glitches. Immigration courts are usually open to the public, but officials denied access to reporters travelers and residents who were there to observe. Meanwhile, many asylum seekers waiting in Mexico say they face kidnapping and extortion as the government there has failed to provide promised humanitarian aid.
And those are some of the stories we're following for you here on Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel insists Cuba is not and will not be paralyzed.
Minister of Economy says Cuba is working hard to find solutions to the current situation.
More than 12 million No More Trump petitions to be presented to United Nations.
Puerto Rican independence activist Oscar López Rivera visits Cuba.